This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Once again, we dive into yet another week where the government is shut down 30-plus days and counting, no end in sight. There doesn't seem to be a break in what the Democrats and what the Republicans are saying. It's more of the Potomac two-step, if you will. The president took swipes at the Democrats. The Democrats rather shot back at the president, and specifically Donald Trump said on Twitter, he said, look, they refused the proposals to end the government shutdown now in, 30-plus days, and he urged voters to put Republicans back in the majority in the House in the next election. Regardless of elections, we still have 800,000 people, many of them in this partial shutdown, figuring out ways that they can still maintain a household, pay a mortgage, pay for child care, and still do a job that they're not getting paid for, and this is part of the problem. And I mentioned my conversations with some of the TSA folks that I've talked to as I'm broadcasting live from Tampa, Florida. I mentioned also that I had a chance to see the blood moon with my family as we were bleary-eyed, but standing out there and trying desperately to see it and take some photographs of it. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see some of that. A lot of great things happening this year as we're a handful of weeks into this next year. And I've mentioned the 10-plus years that I've been on the air here. And many of you have sent me fabulous emails and will continue to read them on the air. Trust me. But one thing I cannot do and cannot figure out is the answer to the riddle of the shutdown, other than, as I mentioned before, if all the TSA went out, if everybody who worked for the TSA called in sick and we had a full-on aviation shutdown, I don't see how it could continue. It just would make no sense to me. By the way, coming up on this show, we have some fabulous guests. You know how I feel about my dog, Mahalo. And Lisa Flynn will join us. She used to train some celebrity dogs, or I should say how they became celebrities. And she's got some thoughts on training animals, etc. You hear often I talk about Kate's Kibbles on the show because I was never had a dog and I was worried about my retriever and what I was feeding him and all that sort of stuff. Then we talked to Sharon Miller about what we're seeing with small business and women. It's starting to really rock. And then a conversation with Terrence Hill, and wait till you hear him. He has some pretty provocative things to say that I found so incredibly interesting to wrap up the hour. Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebrated again. It is a federal holiday. So if you forgot about it, then you might have walked to your mailbox or done things that you would normally do. But it's interesting, in celebrating Martin Luther King, there were parades, there were visits to memorials, and the president and the vice president marked the day by going to visit the memorial. And you think, wow, what would Martin Luther King Jr. think of what's happening now with the shutdown and the tug of war and really the little guy who, or really the middle class guy who has no voice, I think, stuck in the middle of, like I mentioned, this wicked two-step that's going on in D.C. And we've talked to people that have been covering this thing, shoulder to shoulder, and there's a lot of frustrated folks out there who need their paychecks. And frankly, when they're told just get a side hustle, that's just not realistic for them to do as they're picking up extra shifts or being begged to, come to work. And I was just reading the Washington Post, and I was looking at, they've been polling this thing pretty closely, and I was looking at their numbers, and the Washington Post showed that the shutdown is turning off Trump voters even in Michigan. And how did they determine that? Well, they spoke with many of the voters just north of Detroit, and the common theme, their frustration was, we're tired of this shut down, and it's saying it's destructive and it's not right and something has to happen here and you can't continue to do it. It's ridiculous. You're not going to get the wall built for $5 billion. Mexico's not going to pay for that, and it's starting to turn people away. And that's the question. Does it turn people away who voted for Donald Trump the first time around? Because, hey, I mean, you know, politics are local to your wallet. That's part of it. And is your family being affected by what's happened with the shutdown? And I think we're going to see more games and more of the political shenanigans continue in the next couple of weeks. I'd be very, very surprised if this wrapped up anytime soon. I said it when it first happened. This is going to go deep into February. I'm not rooting for that. Of course, I would love to see this whole thing wrap up. But right now, there is just absolutely no end in sight. And then I was reading looking at, as I say here on the show, what's the buzz in your backyard and mine? What's the common denominator always? You know, what's in our wallet? What's happening with our families? What's the weather doing to us? What's happening to our guilty pleasures? Are they making us all sick? We constantly are hearing about some horrific news. I still can't decide, is coffee good for us or bad for us? One day I hear it's good, one day I hear it's bad. If you have any thoughts on them, send them to me at katedelaneyradio.com. katedelaneyradio.com. And, you know, I briefly just glossed over the fact that this L.A. teacher strike doesn't seem to have an end in sight either. And somebody asked me, and I even saw a big headline, well, what's happening? Are the teachers making any headway? Are the teachers winning the battle? And the answer to that is no. I mean, you've got just rallies and picket lines and, you know, how long can they keep this up? Is there going to be a tentative deal? The union saying the teachers won't return to work the next day, and they'll vote on whether to ratify the agreement. So we're into a second week of this, and this is another thing. We're seeing some familiar faces that are trying to help the teachers, and you know, the 34,000 teachers are paid monthly, so barring an agreement for back pay from the district, the paycheck teachers are due that they'll to receive on February 5th would reflect the days they missed work due to the strike. So how about that? And yet another Democrat, by the way, and many of you have sent me your thoughts on this. Who will the Democrats run? And we know that that certainly Donald Trump will run for re-election, and he's already started that campaign. Senator Harris announced that she is going to jump in, do the presidential bid thing. She announced that, in fact, on Good Morning America on ABC. But, remember in 2008, Barack Obama, who was then just a freshman Democratic senator, became the first African-American man elected president of the United States. So now another first-term Dem from the Senate is also making a run at the White House and, of course, happens to be a woman. And she said, I feel a sense of responsibility to stand up for who we are. All right, hang with us. Stay with us. Got a lot coming up this week. And again, I'm broadcasting from the great state of Florida, the Sunshine State, and we're kicking into high gear. Meet you on the flip side.
This is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Everybody's heard me talk about Life's Abundance that you can go to through kateskibble.com. And I'll tell you what, it's been such a game changer for Mahalo. And we're talking to more and more people about that. And joining us now is Lisa Flynn. And Lisa is a real estate guru in Florida, in the Sarasota area. Who doesn't want to live in Sarasota, especially right now if you're listening to me in the Midwest and you're shoveling? You're thinking, I want to move to Sarasota. And Lisa has a background where at one point she was a dog trainer and kennel owner and whatnot. And besides being a real estate mogul, she got involved with Life's Abundance as well. And what a game changer for, for the economics of a business, you know, because it is a business for some people out there listening, and also for what it does for your dog as well. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So let's start with your background first about being a dog trainer and kennel owner. Tell us about that. What was that like? And I, you know, being a kennel owner to me would be wild. It'd be so cool, but I think I'd fall in love with all the animals and I wouldn't want to give them up.
That is oftentimes the case, yes. I have made some real connections with some fantastic dogs and some fantastic owners over the years. But yes, I trained dogs professionally for close to 20 years in the Washington, D.C. area as well as the Boston area, and a little bit here in Sarasota, but not a whole lot. And I had a 25-run kennel with doggy daycare and boarding and grooming and, of course, the dog training. So I did a lot of that. I also worked with some of the sheriff's departments in the D.C. area with their dogs. So it was pretty cool.
So let me ask you a question. This is a personal question. People will love this. They love it when I peel back the onion on the assistant producer of the show, which is my golden retriever, Mahalo. And Mahalo is still, he's 8 years old and he moves around great and runs and all that other stuff, but I want to be careful with him. And you know how do you get dogs to go up steps to a bed? Or come down. It's really come down because that's where they hurt their joints.
Yeah, right. That's so funny. This is, it's just like if you were a doctor, you talk with somebody and tell them you're a dog trainer. They have a dog training question and it's the doctor and, hey doc, I have this rash. Let me take a look. So, well, it's guiding the dog, of course. And if you have a great relationship, as you do with Mahalo, of course, they will trust you and name it. That's the most important part is if you're just trying to get him to do something without actually naming it. So training and obedience and so forth is not really just tricks. It is a language that to communicate with your dog. So when you name it, say stairs or something along those lines and guide him with that, you certainly treats will help and a lot of encouragement. Then he'll start to understand that if you just start grabbing him and trying to tug him down the stairs, he's going to freak out and not know what's going on. So as you start naming it and encouraging him that way, then it literally it becomes a language between the two of you so you can communicate to him what to do. Most people just tell their dogs what not to do. So the key is to be able to teach them so you can tell them what to do instead of just what not to do.
I love it. That is a million-dollar tip, I have to tell you. So I know people out there probably have similar situations where they're trying to get their animal to do something that would benefit them. And you're right. You say, don't do this. Don't go here. Don't whatever. But it should be the opposite. And, wow, that's fascinating. So you go from the dog training and a tip like that and kennel owner, which is so cool. You're in Florida. You're doing the real estate thing and you started with Life's Abundance. What led you to Life's Abundance and starting that?
Well, actually, I started with Life's Abundance 18 years ago.
Wow.
So I've been feeding and recommending and actually selling Life's Abundance since the year 2000. This company has been around for a long time, and I'm been aligned with them for a very long time. And it was a natural add-on to my pet business, my pet care business, of course, because people are always asking for recommendations for food and for toys and for supplies and equipment and so forth. And it was just a natural lead-in. But I started with Life's Abundance primarily because I saw the difference that it was making in the dogs that I was, my own dog, as well as the dogs that I was working with. The behavior is your nutrition is a key component into behavior and behavioral issues. And so when I started to see what higher quality dog food, the difference it made with these dogs, then I started pursuing and looking into more options. And I stumbled upon this and I've been with them for 18 years now.
From the business side of it, for 18 years is a long time. How does that work? And because we both, I mean, I'm new to it, but the quality is incredible. And my dog Mahalo, I think, he just inhales the food. He loves it. The idea that it's made in small batches, all those great nutrients that we talk about, and I've talked about that on the show. But I haven't talked as much about the business side. Tell the listeners more about the business side and how that can be fruitful for them.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of pluses to the business side. And one of the things you just touched on is that made in the small batches and so forth. This is an American company and all the products and all of the ingredients are manufactured in the United States. So I like to support businesses that are in the United States. And many of these larger companies, we don't even realize it, but a lot of the ingredients are being imported from China and then put together here. And this has been some of the reasons for some of the recent recalls in the past few years. Is they've gotten some tainted ingredients and then put it together in the United States, and some animals have been suffering and many have died from one of the recalls, actually. So that's one of the components is, you know, it's an American and U.S. company. But as I said, I had trained dogs for close to 20 years. I have really not done any training at all, but it was a natural lead since I moved to Sarasota, but it was a natural add-on for my dog training business. And I have trained thousands of dogs over the years. And with this business, every single day I get an email saying that so-and-so ordered dog food from you. And this so-and-so is a client from 15 years ago. They are on their third dog that I've not even met. And I may have worked with them in Washington, D.C., and now they live in Washington State. So this type of business is is really residual, because once they're clients for life, and I am on some second, third, and even fourth dogs that they're continuing to order the food. So it's not like a business where you might, some pet stores or groomers or veterinarians will actually have to stock the product. This is completely hands off, which is perfect for me because now I'm focusing on real estate. I don't want to have to stock product. I don't want to have to worry about expirations. I don't want to have to worry about shipping things. That's all taken care of. And I literally still have hundreds of customers from all over the country that I have not even spoken with in 10, 15 years.
Wow. And the great thing, too, is the point of entry is very low, I think. I think it's incredibly reasonable. So you combine that with the fact of what you just said. You don't have to stock anything, and it makes it a no-brainer. So somebody told me the other day she had just started Life's Abundance, I think, a couple of months ago. And basically what she told me is, you know what? My food is covered for my dog. That's amazing. I don't have to pay for the food because I have people that realize how great this food is and that it is an American-made, it's made in America, and the small batches and the nutrients and all of that. So I feel good about it because I'm not getting terrible food off of the shelf. And now my dog benefits, but it also, I'm not buying the dog food anymore because it's paid for itself. And that's the start of it, isn't it?
Exactly. That very quickly happens with this business. The startup costs, like you said, for starting a business, it's, I mean, everything included for the first year is under $500. So it just doesn't make any, you know, it's a no-brainer, especially for somebody who's already in the pet industry. But I know countless people who just are pet lovers and wanted to take care of their own animals in the best way possible, and that's how they got involved, like yourself.
Yeah. The with Life's Abundance, too, they also do something really neat, that they give food to shelters. You can give food to shelters, individual shelters, and I love the way they do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great company and a very solid company that gives back.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so I would be remiss not to ask you about this. How's the real estate biz?
Real estate business is great. It really is. It's there's always ups and downs in this type of business, but I primarily, my niche with real estate is working with investors as a real estate investor myself. I actually got my real estate license here in Florida because my husband and I started to buy properties as rental opportunities. And I just started getting asked by other people for some help. So I got my real estate license for that purpose, to further along our investing business as well as to help other people. And I just fell in love with it. So that's another way that building wealth and having income coming in with our rental properties has just been phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And plus all that sunshine and those beaches. Are you kidding? Who doesn't want to live in Sarasota or near Sarasota? I got to tell you, it's beautiful there, of course, right?
Yeah, I have to say that we do live in paradise. It's been 5 years since I moved here from the Boston area, and I have not looked back. Although I have learned to stop putting pictures of the beach and the palm trees in January and February on Facebook. My friends don't appreciate that anymore.
I love that. Lisa Flynn, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
I really appreciate the opportunity, Kate. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Another Democrat eyeing the White House in 2020, California Senator Kamala Harris, who's 54, telling ABC's Good Morning America, "I'm running for President of the United States, and I'm very excited about it." Harris, who is black, announcing on Martin Luther King Day. President Trump and Vice President Pence pay their respects and visit the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C., the president laying a wreath in front of the monument. President Trump remains in Washington as the partial government shutdown starts week 5. In Atlanta,
I remember when he did get assassinated, I was 12 years old.
Patrick Price, who lives in Atlanta, will never forget the moment in time when Martin Luther King Jr. assassinated.
It was a sad day. It was a sad day.
Every year to honor King, he goes to the service at Ebenezer Baptist Church, not far from where King and his wife buried.
And everybody should be proud of the things that he did. He's a great man, great leader.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Always a pleasure to talk to Sharon Miller, Bank of America, head of small business. She's back to talk about the 2018 Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight. I love this. Before, Sharon, first of all, welcome to the show. But before we get into your findings, can you give us a little background on this annual report, your Women Business Owner Spotlight?
Well, this is the third annual Women Business Owner Spotlight, and we conduct it just to understand how are women feeling about their business, and how are they feeling about the growth and what's coming for the next year ahead, including their revenue and hiring expectations. So really just getting our finger on the pulse to understand what's happening, what's on the mind of women across America.
And how do you do this kind of an annual report, in this case the Women Business Owner Spotlight? How many women do you talk with, and I'm assuming you talk with a good number of men as well? How does it work?
We do. So every year, twice a year, go out and survey business owners across the United States, and some of them are women, some are men, and then we take those results and we pull out the information specifically pertaining to the questions around women and how they're feeling. And so we do the study twice a year at Bank of America, and this is the third year we are surveying and focusing specifically on women. And we've been doing the survey, Greg, since 2012. So over the past 3 years, it's been increasingly interesting to understand, you know, what's on the minds of women? What about Hispanic business owners? And really start cutting our data into more, you know, information around those subsets.
So let's dive into this. Can you give us a broad overview, Sharon, of what you found with the 2018 Women Business Owner Spotlight?
I can, Kate. And just to add to what we were just talking about as well, you know, at Bank of America, we have 3.3 million small business clients, and 40% are women-owned. And so that's also why it's so important to us to really understand what's on the mind of women. And of the 29 million small business clients across the United States, a third are women. So Bank of America has been serving women and certainly want to make sure we understand what's on the minds of them so that we can help them and we can help them with their business and to continue to achieve their goals. And so I'd say, Kate, for the top headlines for this year, we found that women entrepreneurs are much more confident on revenue expectations compared to last year. And their growth plans and their economic optimism is up year over year as well. So I would say a tone of positive, a tone of growth, a tone of, you know, we can continue to grow our business in spite of any challenges we might face.
And what do you think, Sharon, is driving that optimism about things like revenue?
You know, the economy we have seen continue to improve. And so not only in our surveys, but in national surveys for example, for the NFIB. So the National Federation of Independent Business Owners are finding all-time highs in their surveys results as well. And so people are spending, people are traveling. We see consumer stability across the board when it comes to employment. And so that is a key. People have money coming in, they're earning their paychecks, and they have more discretionary income to spend.
And what are they spending the money on as far as the business is concerned, Sharon? How are women using, I would imagine, technology would be part of the cost?
It is. And so as women, you know, in fact, in our survey, we always ask about, you know, how is technology impacting your business? How is it helping to improve your business? And we found that women entrepreneurs, they are increasingly dependent on capabilities related to technology. And so, for instance, when you think about the digital transformation, 33% of women entrepreneurs use a mobile device to process financial transactions within their business versus only 25% of men. So they're way ahead. And they also foresee over the next 5 years a complete shift to digital payments. And so as we think about serving these clients so that they can serve their communities in the businesses that they lead, we have to make sure we're keeping up with how they want to help their clients. So if clients are coming in and they're using their phone to pay for goods and services, we've got to be able to help and partner with the business owner to be able to accept payments that way. So these are some of the insights and how we use this data real time to get better at what we do at Bank of America to serve the businesses so they can serve the communities.
We're talking with Sharon Miller. She's the head of small business for Bank of America. We're talking about the 2018 Women Business Owner Spotlight. And being the one male voice here in this interview, I have to ask because, what may seem obvious to the two of you as women who are deeply immersed in the world of business, and I being a man so completely looking from the outside, how do the two of you look at things like the technology gap that you've just been describing, Sharon? How do you explain why women are ahead of men in many of these ways? Do you have any insight into that?
We're ahead in a lot of ways, frankly.
Well, I was getting there. I didn't want to.
Come on. No. We're just going to focus on technology today. Okay.
For those kinds of things where women excel, I think the more we talk about them, the better it is for all business in technology and all kinds of areas, because then businesses can get better at identifying best practices and who should implement them because they tend to have an advantage there.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, we just had a discussion in New York a week ago with women business owners and entrepreneurs across the country. And we asked that question, you know, how are you using it? Why are you using it? And I think that some of the answers that came up that evening were around, you know, I want to make sure that I'm understanding all the ways to make it more efficient for me. I may not just be the owner of this consulting firm, but I also have a family, a life, I'm a wife, a mother. I go to school. I'm still doing all these. So all these other elements of a life came up. It kept coming up in that conversation. And I think as a woman, it's increasingly, we have so much more ability, I should say, to be able to manage our life. And that's what a business is. A business owner is not thinking of themselves in terms of, I own this consulting firm. They're saying, I have a life. I'm a mother. I could be a father, right? If we're talking about men, but we're focusing on women here. And I need to manage my whole life, and my business is part of that life, and so technology helps me to do that. I can do business wherever I want, whenever I want, however I want, and that's what my clients are telling me and asking me to do. So I don't know, Kate, if you have any other thoughts on there.
No.
I know you certainly talk to a lot of business owners as well.
I do, and I touch a lot of women, and I think what how can we do it bigger, better, faster, and for the reasons you said, you're pulled in a lot of directions, and I know for myself, I love technology. I didn't start out that way because I would get frustrated not learning it because I wanted to know it right away, but the more patience you have and the more that you embrace technology, the easier it becomes to do the things that you need to do, and all the things on the list I do, from mobile payments to whatever on down to Calendly, to CRMs, to using Zoom or other forms of technology to do what I do. So I completely agree with it. I love that your survey found this because I think it's absolutely on point from everything that I've seen with my own friends who are either heading up big corporations or they have their own business.
It's fascinating. As a man, we hear stereotypes, of course, and they've been around for a long time, about how men are traditionally out of balance in their lives, completely focused on work, not balancing their family life well. And I think what you might be suggesting, Sharon, is in the future we're going to see more and more emphasis on the healthy part of balance, work-life balance, and that we're largely going to be thanking women in business for bringing that trend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's healthy. I mean, I think it's balance. It's bringing your whole self to work. It's bringing your whole self to your business. And I think it makes for better corporations and it makes for better business.
Absolutely. How about this? This, of course, is on the minds of many. Sharon, access to capital, that's a big challenge for women business owners, or is it? What did you find this year?
Well, you know, access to capital is improving, and we did hear that loud and clear from business owners. But they do feel that they're facing bigger challenges when it comes to access to capital than their male counterparts. And so, you know, we see at Bank of America our lending business up. We see high demand for capital. And, you know, we are finding that women represent 40% of our business. And I feel like, you know, we have a very strong representation of women coming to us every single day. However, at Bank of America, we know that there are some issues and there are some items that we can help with. And so, you know, from our survey results, we do hear that, you know, training or education or knowing what to ask for, when to ask for it, has been in the past perhaps a roadblock. And so we have recently launched as well the Bank of America Institute for Women's Entrepreneurship in partnership with Cornell University. And this focus is going to be all around access to capital as one element, training, education, and making sure that women have all the information, because as women, and I read about this a lot, you know, women may want to make sure that every single box is checked, all 10 items, if that's what's required for this, versus a male may come in with 2 done, right? And I've got 8 left undone. This is, you know, what we may find, and we're certainly hearing this from the panels we have. And so perhaps the male counterpart would understand that, okay, you have to have this, this, and this because they're getting the education along the way. Whereas a woman may wait till, you know, they have everything done and then they still realize, oh, there was something else I needed to do. And so I think just that conversation, the dialogue, the information, whether it be online, across the desk from an advisor, is going to be helpful in closing the gap on access to capital.
Wow, perfect place to wrap this up. Sharon Miller, Bank of America, head of small business. Fascinating, always to talk to you, and this information is fabulous from your 2018 Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight. Thanks for so much for coming on.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Ben Fuchs is a registered pharmacist who has been using nutritional supplementation like medicines for decades, seeing tremendous health benefits. That's why he drinks Pollen Burst from Longevity's complete line of nutritional supplements.
Pollen Burst has got the B vitamins in there, and the B vitamins are so fascinating because most people are going to be deficient in the B vitamins because they're rapidly processed out of food. So if you're eating foods that are cooked, if you're eating foods that are frozen, if you're eating foods that are prepared in any way, you're going to be deficient in these B vitamins. And the B vitamins work on the parts of the body that move the fastest: the brain, the heart, the skin, and the digestive system. Those are the four systems that respond rapidly to the B vitamins.
To feel changes in your body's fast-moving systems, order Longevity Pollen Burst by calling 877-551-1301. That's 877-551-1301 or on the web at InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Welcome to the show, Terrence Hill. He's written a book called The End of War, Literary Work and Poetry. And Terrence, I have to tell you, I said this to you off the air, but I love the title of your book because, you know, basically what we're talking about here is matching the two, pretty much using literary lines, as you describe it, in poetry that would show that we, or suggest that we turn are back on war. So explain how you came up with that.
Well, I began 47 years ago when I was going to the University of Madrid writing a film treatment and a novel with the idea of unmasking the romantic glory of war, like Hemingway had tried to do in A Farewell to Arms, and suggesting that that we not do war anymore.
Yeah, and you're right that that was definitely a Hemingway theme. And if you go back to those days in Madrid to where we are now and everything that's happened in between, are you surprised what's happened in the world since you came up with this idea?
Yes, and you know, this particular work, I was listening to Professor Stephen Hawking 5 years ago on television when I was in Europe, at the University of Cambridge, Stephen Hawking, and he said, we must end war. And that brought me to the title of this work and the literary work enclosed to suggest, like the president say, we're not going to fight a war with you. We're going to negotiate the great dream of peace now.
What do you hope that people take away from reading your book, that whole idea?
Yes, that whole idea of let's at least start talking about ending war on Earth.
And as you and I both know, there are so many other, if we take it out of the poetry literary mold and we went into society and looked at what's going on in society, it's so tough to make that kind of breakthrough, and you see it in things that have been been written. What do you think it takes to move?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, what do you think it
You're
takes
breaking
to move
up.
That? Terrence, what do you think it takes to move the needle on that?
Well, you know, I used to write to presidents and prime ministers and foreign affairs ministers, and I wrote to the foreign affairs minister of Canada once, and he wrote back to me, Terry, the goal and dream of Canada is peace. And, you know, I think this is the idea.
Yeah, the idea is peace. And we should say that you went to four leading Canadian universities.
I wrote to...
Go ahead, tell us where you went.
I wrote to the foreign affairs minister of Canada.
Yeah, the foreign affairs minister of Canada. And I was just mentioning, too, that you went to four...
You're breaking up.
Okay, so you went to four universities, too, as well in Canada. Tell us about that experience.
Pardon me, tell what?
Tell us about that experience.
Oh, okay. I went to four leading Canadian universities, the prestigious University of Toronto, the Jesuit University St. Mary's in Halifax, the Laval University, the great French University in Quebec, and the University of Regina in Regina, Saskatchewan, where I grew up. So it was just a good education for me.
What was the most surprising thing, maybe not surprising, but what was the best thing that you took away from all of that education?
What I took away from all of that education, start with a premise that you don't know and open your mind to learn what I took away.
Wow. And do you think that's part of the problem of what we see today?
Well, I think the first thing our young people should be taught in college is that they don't know, you know, and open their minds.
Boy, I so agree. Who has motivated you the most of all the literary works out there, all the different poetry and whatnot that's been written about war? Who is most influential to you?
Well, I think the poet John Donne, any man's death diminishes me because I'm involved with mankind, and for whom the bell tolls, Hemingway, therefore do not ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, and those influence me the most.
When you sat down to pull this theme together and you had thought about it really since the 70s, that was your influence, how long did it take you to create this book?
Well, the book was written, there are excerpts from my literary works and poetry over a lifetime. So it took a lifetime.
Wow. And then, but making it flow and such, you did such a nice job of that and weaving that all together would have been an interesting kind of puzzle. Was it like putting a puzzle together?
The editors for the publisher did an outstanding job.
Yeah. When you put all, if you look at all your literary works, what are you most proud of?
This is the work I'm most proud of.
And you're most proud of it because it's been this overwhelming desire in your life, right?
Yes, yes. And the excerpts and literary work and poetry in it, Letter to God, Letter to Roland, all the Value of Life for, the Story of Job. The story of Job is sort of my story over the last 8 years where there were elements trying to take away everything meaningful in life from me to turn me into a revolutionary. And at the end of my story, God said, I'm still Terry's God. And so that went on in my life, and that's printed in the book, Terrence F. Hill's story, The Story of Job.
We're speaking with Terrence Hill, and you can pick up his book at Amazon and wherever great books are sold. The book is called The End of War, Literary Work and Poetry. When you when you were creating these works, as you say, it's like a, I think of it like a puzzle, as I mentioned, and you said the publisher did a great job in putting it together. Was there one particular piece that seemed to take you a long time to put together that you feel really nails this whole equation of the end of war?
I think maybe the cry of St. Paul. The cry of St. Paul that echoed down through the centuries and was heard by every people and civilization on earth for some kind of fairness and mercy and justice in our lives. I think that hit it for me.
Yeah, and tell people who don't know, and they, of course, can read it in your book, but tell us a little more about the cry of St. Paul for those who aren't familiar.
Well, it's just that was the cry of St. Paul. It was heard by every people on earth for some kind of fairness and mercy in our lives. And that was the cry.
Yeah, that sums it up so accurately, mercy, et cetera, in our lives. And do you think we live in a world where there's not a lot of mercy when it comes to war?
Yes, I think that we needed Mother Teresa. The English cardinal said the countries of Northern Europe and Western Europe were becoming increasingly materialistic. And we needed a message of compassion. Mother Teresa brought that message of compassion. Today we have that message of compassion coming from the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and from Pope Francis at the Vatican, the message of compassion.
In writing and taking the body of all of your work, Terrence, and then putting it together in a book, how has this process changed you?
Well, you know, it's humbled me that, that God gave me the talent to write like I can write. I wrote about Churchill once that he'd been given the pen of history. And what a thing to be given the pen of history. And so it's humbled me.
I like that, the pen of history. And I like the Churchill reference. And I want to remind everyone again, I'm speaking to with Terrence Hill, and the book is called The End of War, Literary Work and Poetry. Do you think if people turned more toward literary works and poetry, we might have more calm in the world? Because I think there is there's sort of a lack of knowledge on that front, not like it used to be decades ago.
Yes. The Bible describes darkness as a lack of knowledge. And the Bible also describes that the wisdom of poets cannot be purchased with gold or silver. So it is something that has been communicated to mankind throughout history. Most of the Bible is poetry, and the wisdom in this poetry is what we can still learn from today.
Terrence, what have the people around you said to you, the people who are close to you, about your book?
Oh, they think it's wonderful. They think it's wonderful. Bobby Silva, my friend who had two restaurants in Greenwich Village in 1962 that Bob Dylan would come into, that Peter, Paul, and Mary would come into, that Joan Baez would come into. Bobby has 4 commendations from the United States Senate, 3 commendations from the United States Congress. And Bobby said, just beautiful, Terry. Your works in the heart of Terry Hill are just extraordinary. Bobby emailed me this morning that you are a national treasure, Terry, and we've got to protect you. So thank you.
Boy, that is high praise. No doubt about that. Bobby Sylvan, thanks for sharing that story. And I want to tell everyone again to pick up the book. You can pick it up at Amazon, again, where books are sold. Terrence Hill, The End of War, Literary Work and Poetry. Terrence, thanks so much for sharing your story and your works.
Okay. All right. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.